Sutter Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Rick Warda. We currently meet at the Yuba County Library, located at 303 2nd Street in downtown Marysville, California, on the corner of 2nd and C Street. Weekly services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. at the library. For more information, visit our website at ysgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Rick Warda.
Today, I want to tell you what the Scriptures say about the righteousness of God. I will tell you these things as a man, someone like yourself, a sinful man like you, who desperately needs to be saved from my sin and to be accepted by God. I want to know that I am accepted by God. I want to know God as He truly is. So I want to tell you what the Lord Himself says in His Word. I want you to know that this is the only salvation under heaven. This is all of my salvation and is the only hope any sinner has of being accepted by God. The righteousness of God is all of my salvation. It is all of my comfort. It is all of my assurance of salvation. It is the only basis for any and all blessings from God. This is therefore the only reason for my hope of eternal life. Now, all of this makes the subject of the righteousness of God of ultimate importance to you and to me. But I want you to know that for this sinner, now speaking to you, this is the most amazing and greatest possible news from heaven of God's saving grace. The Bible first explains that the righteousness of God is not something you or I contribute to. God created it. He worked it out. It belongs to Him. It is His. It is God's righteousness. But He did not work out this righteousness for Himself. God is holy and righteous in Himself. He needs nothing, certainly not righteousness, for He is holy in Himself. Nor did God work out this righteousness as God only, but He worked it out as God and man. He worked it out in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He is the Son of man. He is God and man. He is the Lord from heaven. He is David's Son after the flesh, and He is David's Lord because He is God. Psalm 110, verse 1. Jesus Christ does not need righteousness for Himself, because He is holy in Himself as God, but He worked out righteousness for His people. He created righteousness for sinners, even sinners as sinful as I am. Now the first thing we must ask is, what is righteousness? The Bible tells us. In Deuteronomy 6, the Lord explains that righteousness is obedience to God's law. Deuteronomy 6:24 says, "The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day. It shall be for our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He has commanded us." Righteousness, therefore, is keeping God's law. We are righteous before God only if we keep all of God's law completely, if we keep it continually, and if we keep it perfectly. Only then can we be righteous by our own obedience. But the Lord spends the greatest part of the Bible convincing men that there is no man on earth who is righteous in this way. He says in Romans chapter 3, "There is none righteous." No one can argue with these words. We may cringe to think that before God we are unrighteous. But there is no reason to hide from ourselves what God says is most certainly the truth. In fact, the Lord has said that He searched every person on earth throughout time and found that there were none righteous. Psalm 14 says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Thus, God says that righteousness is keeping His law completely continuously and perfectly. And he also says that no man has ever done this. All men are therefore unrighteous by their own obedience. You and I, therefore, have no righteousness before God. In fact, God has said that our very best is very bad. He said, all of our righteousnesses, not our sins, but our righteousnesses, are as filthy rags in His sight. Isaiah 64, verse 6. The rags He is talking about are those rags that smell awful, that you can't clean, rags you have to throw away because they are so revolting and repugnant to God. That's the truth about our very best. Our best thoughts and words and deeds in God's sight are filthy rags. This is not the case of a few people on earth or a few people at certain times. It is true of all people. All, without exception, at best, are nothing but filthy sinners in the sight of God. The best of the best of men are full of sin. Listen again how God puts it. There is none righteous, no, not one. Have you ever considered that word, none? None includes me, especially, because I am a great sinner. But none includes you too. God looked. He searched my heart. He searched your heart, and He said, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, it is one thing that God has said there are none righteous, but it is painful and fearful to know that unless we are righteous, we cannot enter heaven. Jesus said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5, verse 20. If this is the case, if to live before God we must be righteous, perfectly, completely, continuously keeping God's law in thought and motive and word and deed, who then can enter heaven? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ knows the hearts of all men. He Himself said that our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, the most morally upstanding religious men. But do you know what else Jesus taught? He taught that it is not our sin that will keep us out of heaven. Do you know that it is not your sin that will keep you out of heaven? Do you know that there is but one thing that will keep you out of heaven? What is this one thing that Jesus said will keep a man out of heaven? It is your self-righteousness. Jesus taught this truth by an example in Luke chapter 18. He said there were two men that went up to the temple to pray. Now these two men represent all men throughout time. The first man trusted in himself that he was righteous. We know that he was not, because God said, there is none righteous. But Jesus said this man prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The first thing Jesus said about this man is that he prayed. Do you pray? This man thanked God in his prayer. Do you thank God? He thanked God that he was not as other men. Do you ever wonder why others do not obey God as you do? Based on what Jesus said, we might think at first that this man was a good man because he prayed and thanked God and did so many good things. Now, it is true that God deserves all of the credit for any good that we may have done. But this man did something very bad. He presented himself and his goodness to God for acceptance. He trusted God would accept him because of his good life. He was wrong. Think for a minute what this man did. He brought himself to God. He brought who he was. He presented to God what he was and what he had done. He recommended himself to God by the fact that he did not do those sins that he saw others do. He described himself as worthy of God's acceptance by what he did. This parable reminds me of a man who once came to my own door. He was a false teacher. He taught salvation by works, which God denounces as evil. So I asked this man who came to my door, what will you say when you stand before Jesus Christ? God the Son, the judge of all the earth. How will you answer him? How will you answer your judge, who knows all that you think, knows your motives, hears all that you say, knows what is in your heart, and sees all that you do? How will you answer him, knowing all those things you have done that you wish no one could ever discover? How will you answer for yourself to Christ in judgment? Do you know what that man who came to my door answered me? He answered just like the first man in Jesus' parable. He said, I expect God will consider what I have done and accept me for my good works, though I have done wrong. Do you know what I told that man? I told him what the Bible teaches in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 23. If you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ with that answer, I can assure you, you will go to hell. Why does God send men to hell? Because God is holy. What does it mean that God is holy? It means that God cannot tolerate anything that is not as perfect as himself. Only God is holy. Do you know how holy God is? When God found sin on his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ bore the sins of his people as his own sins, when he hung on the cross under the load of those sins for all of God's people, God the Father withdrew from him the sense of his own presence. That is how holy God is. God delivered up his Son to the will of his enemies because he bore the sins of his people. Now, if that is how God treated his own dear Son when the sins of his people were laid upon him, we know that God is holy. We know his justice is inflexible. We know he will do right. He will not pervert judgment. Job 8, verse 3. We know that he can only do what is pure, good, and holy as he is holy. He cannot tolerate anything less than his own perfection. Therefore, do you know how good you have to be accepted by God? You have to keep God's law completely and perfectly. You have to be as good as Jesus Christ. Now, in his parable about the two men who went up to the temple to pray, the Lord Jesus said that the first man who prayed and presented himself with his works to God, that man, the man who believed God would accept him on those grounds, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said that this man went back down to his home condemned in his sins. God did not justify him. He was condemned by the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though this man prayed to God, even though he thanked God and credited God for his goodness, and even though he did so many works that he considered acceptable to God, yet in God's holy eyes, his best was very bad. It was filthy, repugnant, hateful, loathsome evil, so evil that he must be punished for eternity in the fires of hell. But Jesus said there was a second man who went to the temple that day. This man also went to pray, but he did not dare draw near to God himself because he believed himself to be a very bad man. He knew that God is holy. He knew something of his own heart. Instead of drawing near or speaking out in public prayer, he smote upon his breast. He beat on his chest with his fist where his heart was, and he cried, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Now Jesus, the judge of all, gave the decision of heaven's court about this tax collector. Jesus said, this tax collector, a man hated by all, a man who believed himself to be the sinner, who would not dare draw near to God himself, knowing God is holy, Jesus said, this man cried to God that God would consider only the propitiatory sacrifice that made satisfaction to God's justice, appeased God's wrath against sin, and made God favorable towards all who come by him. Jesus said this man, though unrighteous in himself, who cried to God to be accepted because of the sacrifice of Christ, and not for anything else, but for the sacrifice Christ made when he offered himself, the sacrifice God accepted. Jesus said this man, who thus came to God, looking only to Christ, went down to his house justified rather than the other. Do you know what it means to be justified? It means that God has looked and compared your righteousness to His holy law, and in justice has found you to have completely, continuously, perfectly kept His law. It means God has said you are righteous without sin, that you have fulfilled all that He requires for eternal life. It means that God declares a man to be righteous. It does not mean that the man is in himself righteous. This second man was clearly a sinner. He confessed himself to be the sinner. Therefore, to be justified does not mean that God has found the man's own personal obedience to have fulfilled His law, but it means that in considering the sacrifice of Christ, God has found Christ to have fulfilled His holy law. It means that in His own sufferings and death, the Lord Jesus Christ has obeyed all that God's law requires for righteousness. And it means that by His suffering and death as the substitute for His people, Christ has also satisfied God's justice by enduring the curse of God's holy law. Remember, God has already searched the hearts of all men. He looked upon my heart. He looked upon your heart. He has already said, there is none righteous. There is none that doeth good. None. How then can any man be just before God? How can God, who is holy, who will not clear the guilty, how can He accept and justify an ungodly sinner like me, like this publican? The answer is, by the righteousness of God. But if righteousness is keeping God's law completely, continuously, and perfectly, what then is the righteousness of God? Note this very carefully. It is the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ for His people, in their place, as their substitute, as their representative head, to answer God for them. Remember the question God raises to all men? How will you answer God in judgment? How will you give an account of yourself to God? The righteousness of God is the only answer God will accept. It is the only answer every believing sinner brings to God. The Bible puts it this way in Romans 10, verse 4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The end of the law means the complete fulfillment of the law, the consummate purpose for which the law was given. And what was the purpose of God's law, which we failed to realize because of our disobedience? It was to justify the obedient and to give life to the one who kept the law. But since all men, without exception, have failed to keep God's law and have failed to glorify God by keeping it, therefore, by our own personal obedience, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. By our own obedience, we cannot be justified because we're sinners, sinners by nature, sinners by practice. But though no man has or can fulfill God's holy law, there is one who has, and that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. He fulfilled God's law. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of it, and He brought the purpose of the law to its consummate perfection, its end. Matthew 5, verse 17 through 18. On the cross, Jesus cried, "It is finished." John 19, verse 30. Now that word, finished, is the word end. In Romans 10:4, where it says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Only sinners die. Jesus lived under the law. He had no sin of His own. He did no sin. Yet according to the gospel, Christ died for us. Therefore, He did not die for His own sins. He died for the sins of His people, for us. He bore the sins of His people in His own body. And when He did, He was obeying His Father's commandment. He was obedient unto death. And because He perfectly fulfilled all of God's law in His life and in His sacrificial, substitutionary, sin-atoning death, He earned everlasting righteousness for all those for whom He died. The law rewards life to the obedient. By his obedience, Christ earned eternal life for his people. Romans chapter 5, verse 19 says, "As by one man's disobedience, by Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. As sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Now let's review what we've seen from Scripture up to this point. First, righteousness is obedience to God's law. Second, no man on earth has ever kept God's law. Among men there is none righteous. Our best is very bad. Third, Christ himself, the judge of all, says even though a man who was outwardly upright was rejected by God because he came for acceptance by what he was in himself and what he had done. Nevertheless, the Lord Jesus said that a sinner who came to God looking only to Christ's sacrifice of himself for the sins of his people went down to his house justified. God declared a sinner to be righteous because of the sacrifice of Christ. And fourth, Scripture explains that the sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ made of himself as a substitute for his people under the wrath of God not only made satisfaction to God's justice, but because he acted as substitute for his people, his obedience is their righteousness. Christ's obedience unto death is the righteousness God counts to every sinner who looks only to Christ for all of his righteousness and acceptance before God. The obedient life and sin-atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. Christ's righteousness fulfilled the law, Romans 10, verse 4. It brought the law to its perfect, consummate end. Christ perfected his people before God by his one offering of himself, Hebrews 10, verse 14. Do you now see why the gospel is good news to sinners? Do you see that the one thing that will keep you out of heaven is not your sins, but your self-righteousness? Only one who trusts in himself and what he has done will attempt to come to God with anything other than Christ alone. Now the Bible is very practical. It alone reveals the truth. It alone addresses ultimate questions. The truth of Scripture is that you and I, in our own person, are sinful and hateful to God. But the good news from heaven is that God, by His eternal will, has chosen a people for Himself. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 through 14. He loved them from eternity. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The good news from heaven is that God saves all those whom He loves. Zephaniah 3, verse 17. And Ephesians 1, verse 4 through 7. But in my conscience, I can't seem to get beyond this one thing. I am a sinner. This realization, according to the Lord Jesus, is actually God's work. Remember the tax collector? He said, "God be merciful to me, the sinner." Yet he went down to his house justified. So the question now arises in me and comes to you through this sermon. Can I be justified before God? As we have already seen, the answer the Lord Jesus Christ gives is, God justifies the ungodly, Romans 4, verse 5. Do you believe in God who justifies the ungodly? Do you believe that God Himself, who requires complete, continuous, perfect obedience to His holy law, has laid that requirement on His Son, and that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in our nature as God and man, for His people, has fulfilled all of God's holy law in perfection? Do you believe that Christ's obedience is the only obedience you have by which you can come to God and find acceptance from Him? Do you, as the tax collector, see that God must look upon Christ alone to put away His just wrath against you and to be at peace with you and accept you? And do you look to Christ in His life and death as the all-sufficient righteousness by which God has said sinners are justified before Him? Then on the basis of God's own word, If you so believe God's Son and His sacrifice of Himself as the only righteousness in which God accepts sinners, even all who look to Christ, then I say to you with glad assurance, Christ is the all-sufficient righteousness of all who believe Him. Romans 3 verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Any sinner looking to Christ, who answered God with Himself for the sins of His people, and in His life and death fulfilled God's holy law, so that He magnified God's law and glorified His Father, any sinner, and every sinner so given by God to see and believe Christ as his all, is justified before God. God's own word says so. When we believe Christ, we understand that we were justified before God by the obedience and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what He cried from the cross? It is finished. But we were not only justified before God then, but now, in our conscience, the Spirit of God persuades us that Christ is enough. Because by His one offering, He perfected forever all whom God the Father gave Him to redeem. From God's own word, we are persuaded that God justified Christ with His people when He raised His Son from the dead. Romans 4 verse 25 says that the Lord Jesus was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. But there is another justification. Every person will one day stand before God. All who try to justify themselves as the Pharisee in Jesus' parable did will be put to eternal shame on that day. All who present themselves or their decision or their experience or their works to Christ in that day will be utterly put to shame. They will be commanded by Christ to depart because they are workers of iniquity, Matthew 7 verse 23. All who now believe Christ in their conscience believe that He is all their righteousness, who come to God by Him, will be justified by God in that day. Why? What will be their righteousness then? They have no righteousness in themselves. In what righteousness can they possibly stand and appear before God? There is only one. It is the righteousness of Christ. His obedience in the offering of Himself for the sins of His people satisfied God's holy law and fulfilled its righteousness. By His death, He established everlasting righteousness for every sinner He came to save. How then can I know that God has justified me? If Christ is your only answer, if in your conscience you answer every demand of God from God's Word with Christ and Him crucified, then Christ is your answer. God has accepted Him for you. If Christ is all you have, then you have answered God already in Him. If you need something other than Christ and what He did in His life and death, then you are as that Pharisee who brought himself for acceptance to God. You will therefore depart from God in your sins. You will not be justified. You will be condemned without any righteousness. Oh, dear fellow sinner, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Find Him to be the righteousness of God and your only righteousness before God. God raised Him from the dead, and when He did, He justified Him with His people because of His obedience unto death.
You have just heard a sermon by our pastor, Rick Warda. You may contact us by email or by phone, or download a copy of this sermon by visiting our website at ysgracechurch.com.